Look at a very important topic this morning.
Ary amin'ny timaranty kosa dia te hijery aloha hevitra manandanja anankiray.
I've got about 20 minutes.
Eo amin'ny 20 minitra ny ananako.
So I'm going to go for it.
Ade tonga dia ho alefako ilay izy.
And talk to you about becoming a secure leader.
Ade iresaka aminareo ahako hoe tonga laza mpitarika mahazo antoka tsara.
Let's pray. Father, as we spend a few minutes looking at your word, we ask that you would speak into our hearts today. We need you, Lord God, to strengthen us, to change us, sometimes to set us free.
And
today I pray some people will be set free from insecurity. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
One of the biggest hindrances to leadership is insecurity.
Anisan'ny vatomisakana lehibe anankiray eo amin'ny fitariana ny resaka hoe tsy fahazoanantoka.
God calls you and me to lead for him.
Ny antso anasy anao Andriamanitra mba hitarika ho azy.
Husbands should lead in their families.
Ny vady lehilahy dia tokony hitarika ho amin'ny fianakaviany.
But it's not always easy when you're dealing with personal fears.
Ary tsy mora rehefa resaka hoe tahotra manokana no misy eo aminao.
Being insecure was one of my big problems when I was younger. I'm sure I'm still not completely free of insecurities. I've met very few people who aren't insecure to some degree. So almost every one of us will relate to what I'm sharing. The thing is, over the years, God has helped me to get more and more free of my insecurities. And some of us are insecure about what people think of us. You
want
to know what it feels like to feel a bit insecure? When you get dressed up to go on a date,
and
you're worried about what the other person will think about how you look. But sometimes you're insecure in a marriage. You got past the date. You got married, but then you noticed that your wife had a long conversation with another guy. And you don't know what they were talking about.
It probably
wasn't anything bad. But what really bothered you was when she laughed a little bit during the conversation. And you think, does she laugh at my jokes? I'm her husband, but does she find me interesting? It's insecurity. Insecurity pops up all over the place. The people of Israel were insecure because they looked at the nations around them and they said, they've all got kings, but we don't have a king. We don't measure up. When we make a comparison, they look better than us. They've got kings, we don't have a king. So in their insecurity, they went to God and asked Samuel to talk to God for them and get them a king.
And
God said, okay, you're rejecting me, but I'll do what you're asking. I'll give you a king. Because he was their king, but they wanted a visible king. He was enough for them, but they felt he wasn't. So God gives them King Saul. Turns out Saul was the most insecure king you can imagine. He is like a case study on insecure leadership. We're not going to turn there. I'm just going to refer to the scriptures as we go, but you can read them at home. It's all in 1 Samuel.
Because
most of 1 Samuel is about Saul. And
2
Samuel is about David. There's the first bad king, the second king who's better. And it all starts with lost donkeys. Saul is looking for some donkeys. But the people have asked for a king. And Samuel knows it's Saul. And he finds Saul, who's been hunting for these missing donkeys. Saul's actually looking for the seer, the prophet, the man who sees things. And he comes to Samuel, he says, "Have you seen my donkeys?" That's a good reason for a prophetic word, eh? Use the prophet to tell you where your lost donkeys are. But what happens to Saul is different. He doesn't. The prophet says, "Forget about the donkeys. They've been found already." He says, "Don't worry about them." This is in chapter 9 and verse 20. And then Samuel says, "But to whom has all the desire of Israel been turned except you?" What Samuel's saying to him is, Israel's been wanting a king, and you're going to be that king. His first answer is, "But I'm a Benjamite. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin." Which is the smallest tribe. And I'm the... My family is the smallest family in the tribe. Why do you say this to me? He's got an inferiority complex. In other words, his perception of himself is that he's not up to much, he's little.
Ary ny fomba fijeriny an'ny tenany izany dia hoe tsy mahavita zavatra betsaka fa kely.
Nevertheless, in chapter 10, he gets anointed as king.
Samuel pours
oil on him and says, "Has not the Lord anointed
you?" As leader
of his inheritance.
Then
later, it comes time to actually do the kind of coronation. To have the ceremony where they actually say to Israel, "Here's your king."
And
they can't find
Saul.
So his inferiority complex. Makes him refuse to step up and be who God's calling him to be.
And
he's made excuses, now he's hiding away. They can't find him. And eventually they find him hiding amongst the baggage, like where the buses are and all the suitcases are. He's hiding behind there somewhere. If you went down to the bus terminus to Ansirabe and you stood behind the buses and you hid away in the luggage somewhere. What a place to find the one who's called to be king.
And
when they bring him out, because you can't hide from God,
and
don't try to hide if God calls you to something.
But
in chapter 10 and verse
23,
it says he stands a head taller than everyone else.
So he's
actually just a big
guy.
But all his insecurities make him think he's a small guy.
And
what happens next
is they
appoint him as the king. Samuel explains the rules to him. Writes it down for him. And then it says to us in verse 26 of chapter
10,
that God sends with him strong men. When he leaves from there, he leaves with a band of brave men. God sets him up for success.
But
here comes the biggest problem.
As he's
leaving,
some
other guys, troublemakers, say, "Will this guy lead us?" They don't have confidence in him. God has called him. The prophet anointed him. He's been supplied with brave men to walk with him. But on his way home, scripture seems to imply he's listening to these other guys.
When in verse 27,
the troublemakers said, "How can this fellow save us?"
But Saul
kept silent.
So
what happens in this crucial moment?
Instead
of seeing what God's doing with his life, Instead of having faith and stepping up to the call of God, the insecure guy who hid amongst the baggage, is now looking at the people around him that don't support him. God sets us up for success. But insecurity takes our eyes off God and His plans. Puts it on ourselves. We start to feel too small. And we notice what other people think when we shouldn't even care what they think. Should Saul have bothered what those men thought of him? Not at all. He shouldn't have cared at all. But some people are constantly worried about what other people think of them. If I take the microphone, what will they say? If I share a prophetic word, will they laugh at me? If I step up for God, what will my family say? Will they say, calm down? Don't be so radical for God. And we start to worry about how people perceive us. Saul continues to make mistake after mistake. So he later on in chapter 13, he's been king for 2 years and he's done almost nothing. The Philistines are oppressing Israel.
And
he gathers 3,000 soldiers. It's too few to go to war. So why did he gather them? And then he kept 2,000 and gave 1,000 to his son Jonathan.
He's
got too few to go to war, but he's hugging for himself all the best soldiers. With 1,000, Jonathan went and attacked the Philistines. With 2,000, Saul did nothing. Insecure people try to prop themselves up and protect themselves. He wasn't defending Israel, he was defending himself. When you find all you're trying to defend is yourself, and protect yourself, that's because of insecurity. When you're always having to explain yourself and justify yourself and excuse yourself. When you feel like you have to defend yourself. Even against your own spouse. It's insecurity. Because you should be living for a bigger battle. But you prop yourself up with these arguments and these thoughts. So what happens is Jonathan attacks, then Saul jumps into the battle late.
Then zavatra nitranga nandeha nanafika andrareo zany Jonatana dia avy eo Saul tonga tao amin'ny ady afa efa tara.
And so he quickly calls Israel to war after that.
Dia tao aoriana izay zany izy vao niantso ny Israel hoe andao hiady.
And then he does some stupid, more stupid things. And again, they're being oppressed by the Philistines. And so he settles back into doing nothing again. And Jonathan and his armor bearer go back and attack again. See, just two of them. Because after the first attack, the Philistines came in and they oppressed Israel even more. And they took away the weapons of the army. And Saul was again doing nothing. See, insecure people never rise up to fight God's battles. But Jonathan and his armor bearer, just the two of them, went and fought.
And
lots of Philistines started killing each other. It was a miraculous victory for Israel. God still wants to bless them. But Saul sees the victory Jonathan had. And then he says to the rest of his army, you can't eat until I've killed as many people as Jonathan did.
He's
competing for his pride against his own son. And a hungry army can't fight. Insecure people make it all about them. It's all about me. That's what you're doing. You're saying it's all about me. Nothing to do with Israel's victory, all to do with Saul's reputation. Later, David comes on the scene. David's even more successful. And Saul's comparing himself against David all the time. And he gets very jealous. And he wants to control David. So he brings David closer to him and puts him under him. And later even tries to get David to marry his daughter so he can control David even more. And the people are singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. And from jealousy, now Saul starts to plot to kill David. Insecurity is an ugly thing. There's, for us, many ways God wants to reveal insecurities in our lives. When I announced that some guys are invited to leaders training, some people think, why was I left out? Why didn't I get invited? What's wrong with me? Why him and not me? That's insecurity. You think I think less of you than someone else. I don't. When someone gets praise for something and you don't, it can reveal insecurity if you get jealous or if you get irritated by that. When someone gets a big gift and you think, why him and not me? You should rather celebrate. But no, we get critical of our brother's success. That's insecurity. See, all of this is based on you making comparisons between you and someone else. Now I'm going to land it by telling you how everything has to change. When Jesus dealt with one of his disciples one way and another a different way, and they started to compare and compete with one another. They started to say, why him and not me? Jesus said, what is that to you? It's none of your business. Only you follow me. To be set free from insecurity, you have to take your eyes off the people around you. If he gets praise, it doesn't mean you inferior. If he gets promoted, it doesn't mean you messed
up.
If you didn't get affirmed, it doesn't mean you're rejected. You put your eyes on God. That's where Saul made his mistake. Right when he was being called by God and anointed by the prophet, he should have been looking to God. All his life he was comparing himself with everyone around him. You will never lead well if you're always comparing yourself and judging yourself compared to others.
There
are always people who are better, people who are luckier, people who get the prize and you don't. Put your eyes on God. Ask him what he's called you to do. Follow him. We're not in a competition with one another. Let's pray. Father, in this short encouragement, I pray that you will help us, Lord. Captivate us, Lord. Help us to put our attention on you. Let us put our trust in you. Let us put our hope in you. And let us live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.